Horn.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes. As controller of thought, word, and deed at the BBC, I'm afraid I have to reprimand you over the use of certain words and phrases contained in last week's show.
Oh, what specific phrases did you have in mind?
Well, last week in your show, you distinctly said, hello.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Oh, come off it, Horn. We all know what hello means. We all know what it suggests. It suggests, hello, what's this I see through the keyhole? It's a scantily clad female doing an exotic dance with a ball of wool.
Good. Good heavens, is that what it suggests?
Yes, that's what it suggests to me.
Oh.
Immediately. And then later in the program, you said you were going to introduce someone without further ado, which suggests immediately that there had been some ado going on. Which brings me to your name.
My name, or what's wrong with Kenneth Horn?
Well, everybody knows that ground-up moose's horn is an aphrodisiac. Very title of your show is an incitement to loose living and carrying on. I found. You'll have to change your name.
For the next 30 minutes, it's round the Larksley Fortinbras.
And I can't wait till the controller gets round to Housewife's Choice. Well, now, today, as everybody knows, is the start of Cota Sheep in Raspberry Jam Week. And to celebrate the occasion, the City of London has gone gay and organized a really exciting festival. There'll be swan upping at Downham, swan downing at Upham, streptococcus racing at the BMA Recreation Grounds, Walthamstow, and an auction of Rembrandt's dentures at Sotheby's Horsemeat Boutique, Hungerford Arches. And for racing fans, the week's events will be crowned by the nudists' annual point-to-point at Kempton Park. And I can't wait to see them jogging round the course. All right, Smith, make the announcement.
And now, Armpit Theatre presents a story of horror and lurking fear. We give you Gaslight, Son of Flicker.
The year is 1890. The place, Victorian London. Inspector De La Rose of the CID was going through his file of unsolved crimes with his dour Cockney assistant, Sergeant Molecule.
Well, now, Sergeant, what about the Chalk Farm case? Have you dragged the hip bath?
Yes, sir. We sent frogmen down, but all they come up with is a sliver of carbolic, a pair of flippers, a bar of chocolate, one roller skate, a waterlogged copy of Memoirs of a Harem Girl and a False Beard. But there's no sign of the bishop himself.
No. Have you tracked down the hooded finger burglar of Brixton yet?
We traced the footprints in the Semolina to the boudoir of Lady Crabthrobber. And in her wardrobe, we found this.
Oh, that's why I left it. Well, once I get the tea leaves out, it'll be as good as new. Well, that only leaves the strange business at 14 Ganderbody Square still unsolved.
What do we have on that case, sir?
Precious little. The Countess of Ponder's End was foully done to death with a blunt instrument. Namely, a blunt instrument. And the house was ransacked, but we never found the assailant.
Did you know that a couple had moved into the house?
Yes, the Grunter Pulpits. They're just married, and she seems a sweet little thing, but Polyp Grunter Pulpit, her husband, he's odd. He's very odd indeed.
Good morning, Polyp.
Good morning, my dear.
I'm glad you're in such a good mood this morning. Aren't you coming down to breakfast, dear?
No, I'll have it up here where I am, on the chandelier. Did you sleep well last night?
Not really, Polyp. I was frightened.
Frightened? What was there to be frightened of? I was out.
I heard noises, and the gas light went very low.
Nonsense, you imagine things, my dear.
I didn't imagine it. I heard footsteps coming from the attic.
Mice.
And foul oaths and cursing.
Ill-bred mice. I I'm worried about you, my dear. You're not well. Here, lay down on this bacon slicer. Let me get you something.
What?
Sliced.
Bollock, we've been married for 6 weeks now, but every night you go out, not returning until the dawn. Where do you go?
To work.
But you're an upholsterer.
I'm an all-night upholsterer. You worry too much, my dear. Let me comb your hair with this axe.
Why are you looking at me so strangely, Polly?
You forgot to give old Spot his weekly bath yesterday.
But why should I have to bathe him? He's your father. I know what you're up to, Polly. You're trying to drive me mad. But yesterday when you were out, I tried the attic door. It was locked, Polly. Why was it locked?
Because I say so. You must never go in there.
But the room next door is locked too.
You must never go in there either. No, never. Never, ever. Not never on any account. Do you hear? You must never go in that room. Well, not the plumber's vein.
What? You're mad.
Did you say mad? Is that what you said?
Mad? Yes.
Mad? Did you call me mad?
Yes.
I thought so earlier. I had to speak up. I'm not wearing me appliance. It's not me who's mad, my dear. It's not me who's mad. It's you.
Me?
Yes, you keep losing things.
What have I lost?
Answers, please, on a postcard. To the Lost Property Office, Baker Street, New Guinea.
I'm going to have you put away.
No.
Dr. Otterbland will do the necessary. Come in, Dr. Otterbland.
There's a secret door on the whatnot opened, and into the room stepped the kindly old family physician, Dr. Otterbland. An imposing man with beetling brows that met in the middle of his back.
Oh, my dear. Your husband has told me all about you. Come with me, my dear.
Where are you taking me?
To Somerset. And Dr. Croke Raven's private residential hotel for loony gentlefolk. Yes. Don't worry, my dear. It's a trust house. All our... Yes. All our residents are trust.
Go with him, my dear. The doctor will never be far away. He has a private practice in Bath.
Yes, every morning. The acoustics are better in there.
No, I won't go. I won't go. You can't make me go.
Oh, can't I? Grab her, Otterbland. I mean, grab her, Otterbland. Give her an injection.
No, don't
shrink away, my dear. It's only an 8-inch hypodermic needle. It won't hurt a bit. There. It only goes to show how wrong you can be.
Oh, she's gone limp. Help me carry her out. There's a horse-drawn mini-cab waiting.
But meanwhile, a watch was being kept on the house by Edwin Braden, disguised as Epping Forest. Without any artificial aids. To speak of, anyhow. Seeing the unfortunate Mrs. Gunter Pulpit being bundled into a hansom cab, he paused, only to knock back 18 pints at the captain's cabin before making his way speedily to the yard.
Excuse me, sir.
He speaks. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in the presence of history. It's as if Zeus had descended from Mount Olympus disguised as a water buffalo. Speak on, O'Braden, speak on.
They've done a moonlight flit.
I beg your pardon?
Well, that's what it says here.
Is that all?
Yes.
Well, it's hardly worth getting off your podium for. Right, Sergeant Molecule, we haven't got a moment to lose. Not so fast, Gunter Pulpit. We're on to your little game.
Look out, he's got a bottle of liquid paraffin.
And it's loaded. One false move and we all go together.
Drop that liquid paraffin. I've got a beretta here. And I'm not afraid to use it.
Drop that beretta. I've got a Tommy gun.
Drop that Tommy gun. I've got a 12-bore Douglas Smith here and it's cocked.
But it's only a sawed-off Douglas Smith, sir.
Well, then it's half-cocked. But this is no time to haggle.
Drop that sawn-off half-cock, Douglas Smith. I've got a stick of dynamite here.
Drop that stick of dynamite.
Yeah!
was the end of the affair. The others were never seen again. But blast plays funny tricks. My trousers were blown off, and the blast threw me several hundred feet in the air. And I came to rest in the drawing room of a Mrs. Evadne Spigot of Morepose, Sidcup. At least that's what I told Mr. Spigot when he came home unexpectedly from work.
Horn colour supplement.
First, with a few new wrinkles on cookery and a great many old wrinkles elsewhere, here is Daphne Whitefire.
Good news for all housewives. Rhino is down in the shops this week and you can give hubby his favourite cut. My suggestion, best end of Rhino. The difficulty is, of course, to know which is the best end. Rhinos know, but their cause is not ours. Other goodbyes are a scallop of vole, water buffalo chestnuts, and hippo in its shell. For those of you who fancy something a little more exotic in the way of poultry, why not try duck-billed platypus? Flambé.
Yes. Well, I've tried it, but they keep blowing the match out. Well, now, this week, the Round the Larkspur 14 Brass Colour Supplement turns its attention to the cinema. We in England have a great tradition in filmmaking, particularly during the war, when we made those never-to-be-forgotten epics of Keep It Up, Stick It Out, Take It on the Chin. I knew you'd all volunteer. Good heavens, an orange. Jack, darling, what's happening to us? School of Film. Here's an excerpt from one such naval drama starring Dame Celia Millstrangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckaback.
Oh, Charles.
Oh, Fiona.
Charles, you're back.
Yes. Would you mind scratching it?
Oh, there, darling. Better.
Yes, darling. Oh, how I've missed that. Seems years since I was home on leave last.
Did you think of me out there?
Yes. Constantly, incessantly, never-endingly I thought of you back here. And did you think of me out there, back here?
Yes. All I could think of back here was you out there thinking of me back here. Thinking of you out there, back here. Needing you, wanting you, wanting to need you, needing to want you.
I want to feel you need me. I want to feel that you're there behind me leading the way. And how are the children? All I know of them is what you've written to me. Emily, how's she? And Peter, Roger, Sydney, Jonquil, Rupert, Abdullah, and... You know, I've wondered a lot about young Abdullah while I've been out. And Buster. How's young Buster? Is he in long trousers yet? Is he going out with girls? Does he look like me?
Buster's the dog, darling.
I must go now.
When will you be back?
I don't know. I have a funny sort of premonition. I won't be coming back.
You mean?
Yes. But if I don't get back, don't grieve. Just think, at last he's found a little rest. A little peace.
A little peace, Charles.
Yes. She's a barmaid at Chatham.
D. These days, making films is no longer the prerogative of the large Hollywood companies. Today, many of the best films are made by the small, independent film units. And recently, I visited the office of one such company. The sign on the door said, Bona Prods. So I prodded and entered. Hello, anybody there? Oh,
hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend, Sam.
Oh, hello.
We are in the forefront of your nouvelle vague. That vague, vague. You see, that is your actual French.
Yes.
Actual French.
Means we are of the new way.
Yes, and very nice it looks on you too.
Yes. You see, we've got a small independent unit, film unit,
yes,
you see.
We are the Cecil B's of the 16 DeMille.
Yes.
Small budget pictures, really.
Would I have vardered any of them, do you think?
Oh, it's all the Polari, isn't it?
I wonder where he picks it up.
Yes, well, yes, well, Miss Drawn, you may have vardered one of our tiny bijou masterpiece X, Heart Foes. one of our pictures was Funny Eek and My Fair Pallone. And
I take it you're engaged in something pretty exciting at the moment.
No, no, not really. We're just standing here with our hands on our hips talking to you.
Oh, bold, very bold. Oh.
I wonder where he spends his evening. Oh, yes, you mean the subjects. Oh, well, frankly, Mr. Horn, at the moment, we are dickering, aren't we, Jules?
Yes, we are.
Just dickering, really.
Got one or two germs, and we're dickering with
them. That's right. Germs, my dear. Yes. Germs, my dear.
We was thinking of a biblical subject.
Lovely.
In fact, I was up all last night working on my outline.
Show it to Mr. Horn.
What?
Show him your outline.
Oh, shall I?
Yes.
Sure. Well, look, this is how I see it.
He's very seasoned, Mr. Drawn. You're present at the moment of cinema history. He's about to create. He's about to create. Look at his features. All been tortured. He's getting all worked up. Look, the muse.
No.
The muse is fluttering about and looking for a place to perch.
Yes.
You see? There she is. Go it, girl. Cheers. She's lighted on his shoulder.
I've got it.
He's got it, Mr. Drawn. It's coming over him in waves.
Yes. We're going to do Samson and Delilah.
Go on, Jewel. How do you see it? How do you see it?
Well, I see Samson all huge and all bush.
Bush, yes, yes.
These bush. Great bulging thews and...
Oh, yeah.
And whopping great... Whopping great lally.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. The film opens with him lying there, spark out on his palliasse.
Oh.
And suddenly there's a movement behind the arras.
Yes.
And who comes trolling in? Oh, shut up.
No, yes. Trolling in.
Spoiling me thoughts.
No,
it?
No.
Who comes trolling in but this Pallone Delilah?
Yeah.
She varders his sleeping eek. And she pulls out this pair of scissors and lops off his rye.
Yes, I see that. Yes, a great close-up of his head. Nanty Raya. Yes, that is your cinema verite.
Yes.
That is your cinema verite.
Truth. Then suddenly, he comes round.
Yeah. Mm. Go on. Yes.
He comes round.
What happens? What happens?
What?
What happens when he comes
round?
I'll
tell you what.
Yes.
It's all ebbing away, he screams. It's all ebbing away.
Ebbing away. Lovely dialogue. Yes. Go on. Come on.
Then the Philistines come and they mock him, Mr. Orme.
Oh, they mock him. What a figure of tragedy he represents.
Then they drag him up the king's latty.
Oh.
And chain him. Oh. Chain him by his lallies to the pillar.
Oh.
Then he gets his wild up.
Gets his wild up.
Yes,
yeah.
He do. And then with one mighty heave.
Oh.
He brings the whole latty tumbling about their heads.
Oh.
End of film.
Bravo, Jules. Yes. Bravo. It's an Oscar winner. I shall go again and again. What about you, Mr. Orme?
Well, yes, it makes me want to go.
Yes. Oh, yes. Beautiful.
And who do you see playing the role of Samson?
Where do you see the description? Say it's big, butch, muscular, blonde. There's only one person it can be.
Who's that?
Jewel himself. It's you, Jewel.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, pity.
Why?
I saw myself as Delilah.
Well,
And they've promised me a couple of tickets for the sneak privada. Well, that brings us almost to the end of the show, but for this week's musical adventure up the highways and byways of folk music and stopping off in a lay-by, what else would we find but rambling Sid Rumpo?
Well, hello, me dearie, and I expect you're dying to know what I've pulled out of me gander bag this week.
Yes, well, we're all agog. Well, half agog, anyhow.
Half agog. Yeah. Well, the air with which I'm about to burst forth is traditional in Lincolnshire. It is the song of the Bogle Clencher and goes after this fashion. When I was a clencher's bogle man in famous Lincoln town, I often clenched me bogling fork for less than half a crown. And I would woggle and nirk me boys, as I shall quickly tell. Oh, 'tis my delight on a shining night and a foggy night as well. Once I took me moolies and set them in a snare. 'Twas then I spied a scrope as man a wordle in a hair. But I was not afeard, me boys, of that there is no doubt. Out is my delight on a shining night when the copper's on to bout. Although I'm over 80 now, my boggle still I clench. And I will flutter my artifacts at any passing wench. I've tickled many a scribbling nut as on my way I go. Oh, 'tis my delight on a shiny night at 1 and 9 a throw.
I'm afraid I don't have 1 and 9 on me. Well, that brings us to the end of the show for this week, except for a police message. Now, police are still looking for the nude cyclist of Polperro. And they wish to interview a tall, distinguished, middle-aged radio comedian with a bald head and a deep, fruity voice. Oh. So, until next week, then. Cheerio!